I can barely get any reception on this stupid thing. So far, the only station that comes in is some British guys reading news from places I'm not sure exist.
Today, in Kazakhstan, a peaceful demonstration turned to bloodshed as members of the Tuzili tribe flooded Kenpow Square in remembrance of the third anniversary of the Holmesburg massacre. And now with sports, here's Framtel Tromwibler.
You're listening to The Hockey Show, broadcasting at 101.5 CJUM FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I'm not sure about any of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. How's everyone doing tonight? We have a big girl power night, so with that, we'll bring in my co-host, Teebs, here.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great, thanks.
Solid. I like it. We're starting off with some good girl power setup here, as we have a big show. Lots of women's hockey news tonight. Are you excited for this? Because not often we get like a dozen story. I mean, it's not a dozen, I guess. Maybe like half a dozen stories about women's hockey, though.
I'm super excited, and it's nice because they're mostly positive, you know? Like, it's a good little change up from what we've been talking about a lot lately, and it's nice to see all the women and girl and everything that's been happening just over the last little bit, so.
You know what tonight is in terms of being girl power night? It's a non-COVID night, too. We don't have one story about right? COVID tonight. So
I'm like, heck yeah.
So it's a different, it's going to be a different show altogether right off the bat. Obviously, we had some Spice Girls on, so, you know, kicking everything off with a little bit of fun that way. But let's get into this because there's a couple of big stories that we want to talk about, certainly. And I know that, you know, you're excited about a couple of them. We'll start with the big one, obviously, for next season. As we know, ESPN getting back into the hockey game in terms of broadcasting and certainly, you know, looking for people that can broadcast. And they might have found one of the best right here in the city of Winnipeg, as Leah Hextall was hired by ESPN to do play-by-play broadcast next year for the league. I think this is an excellent move. I mean, obviously, she had a great run calling NCAA games. She called that NCAA game this year with the, you know, went into like 12 overtimes with between UND and Minnesota State, and that was incredible. So I think they got an all-star coming to their broadcast team, and certainly Leah Hextall will make everybody proud in this city. Your thoughts on Leah getting a shot by ESPN here in terms of calling NHL games?
I agree 100% with everything you just said. I think that's a great addition, and again, it's not even just because she's a woman. She's obviously proved herself in that sense too, and obviously it helps that it's nice to see, you know, a woman getting that spot. Just whatever, but I think that it's a really good addition, and I'm really excited to just see that, you know, like see how it goes. But I think she's going to do really well.
Well, I mean, after talking to Kenzie last week as well, I mean, don't get me wrong, Kenzie can gab, like she can talk. She was fantastic last week.
Yes,
having Leah in that chair calling games. I mean, again, working with Kylie Palmer in terms of calling Bison games. I mean, I know she has a different perspective on the game than I do, and certainly it leads to different conversations about the game, and I think that's what makes it really good when I'm working with her. I'm thinking that Leah's going to probably be the same way, where she can bring a different set of eyes that sees the game entirely differently than what, you know, most guys do, most men do, who have been around hockey all their life. And I think that's important because we don't get those opinions out of dudes very often. So having Leah call games next year, I think, is going to be a huge boon for the NHL just in terms of bringing in the female fans, because she sees the game so much differently.
Yeah, I mean, obviously women's and men's hockey, it's like a completely different game, but you still have like, it's the idea is the same, right? And when you've played that high of level, and she's called obviously other games and stuff, there's definitely, even listening to certain play-by-play, like it just, you can tell who has that like experience, who has that hockey sense and whatever. And it's like you said with Kylie Palmer, she sees the game very differently than other people, and it's more conversation. It's more interesting to talk to or listen to. Sorry. So I think that'll be nice, just because even if you might not agree with what she says, it gets more conversation going. And like, right. She is also obviously has that knowledge and hockey experience. And I think it's going to, like, that was when you told me about this one, I was so excited because I think she's going to do very well.
I agree. I think Leah's going to knock it out of the park for ESPN. I'm happy that they've hired her and certainly are breaking down some walls that, you know, maybe have been up for far too long. I know, you know, Cassie Campbell has been doing the Calgary game since the playoffs started, obviously, with, you know, the crew being sort of called out by Sportsnet to do other stuff. Cassie's been back in Calgary calling the games between Calgary and Vancouver. Credit to Cassie. She's just as good. She certainly can do the job as well. But Leah, in terms of sitting in that play-by-play broadcast chair, much sort of different job, much, much tougher job to keep sort of that game going. And Leah does an she's a pro. She does the work so well, and she certainly knows her stuff. And I mean, like I said, I'm excited to hear. I mean, again, I don't know what game she's going to call. I'm hoping that maybe she'll call a few Jets games. Who knows? But at the same time, though, I mean, just getting her to call any games next year is going to be better than some of the alternatives that, you know, people have put forth so far. And that's no slight to some of the play-by-play broadcast people out there. I just want to hear a different voice for once.
For sure. And like the other side of that, too, is there's so many like younger girls, for example, that like they'll watch hockey here and there. But if they have a woman, they hear that woman's voice behind the games. Like that just is like so much more exciting to those younger girls, too. You know what I mean? And I think that as dumb as it sounds, that it's just like it's shouldn't be as big of a deal as it is. But like that will give so many little girls being like, wow, that's so cool. Like whatever. And it's going to get them more into watching the games, listening and be like, wow, like I can do that too, but also it will get more people watching, you know?
But I mean, I think you're right in saying that though, in that hockey doesn't just have to be the players on the ice. There are so many jobs and so many opportunities around the game of hockey. And I think this goes, again, I don't want to use our, you know, the radio show as a sort of a prop here, but I mean, did you ever think you'd be doing a radio show about hockey after you finished playing hockey out at McEwen?
No, honestly, when you asked me if I wanted to join you, I was like, are you crazy? Like, it's just never something that, obviously, yeah, there's been women in hockey for me, though. It's never really been like there's just women hockey players. You know what I mean?
And
obviously, yeah, there's been to that extent. But even like the girls I coach and stuff, like when we had them on the show here, they're like, whoa, that's so cool. And then like even Cassie Campbell, like they're not in her time of when she played hockey, but they know who she is through that. And this Hextall, like when she comes in, for them it's going to be, wow, there's this girl that played super high level hockey and now she's calling these NHL games. And yes, those girls watch the NHL, but like I said, it's going to give them something to, it's just a different outlook on it. And then it's seeing like a woman that has done something that you want to like grow up to be like, and now she's doing all this stuff with the NHL. like, it's such a cool thing.
And I mean, I think that's the thing, is that there are going to be opportunities out there for women. Again, take nothing away from Jennifer Botterill, take nothing away from AJ Mleshko down in the States, take nothing away from Kendall Coyne Schofield down in the States. They've all worked on broadcast down there, and they've all certainly, you know, put in their time, and certainly, you know, Jennifer's come back to work on Sportsnet, and she does a great job there. Like, I think she's one of the best analysts they have on Sportsnet, bar none. That being said, there are so many jobs that are still within hockey that you don't have to be a player all the time to work in hockey. There are so many other jobs, and we're going to get to a few more today because there are other women that we're going to talk about. But I think having play-by-play, having certainly a woman doing play-by-play, yeah, it's a little bit different than what we're used to, than what, you know, everybody's used to out there. Because again, you know, the Jim Houstons, the Bob Coles, the Chris Cuthberts, like, you're used to hearing those guys because they've been on TV forever. Like, right. Forever. I mean, Cuthbert's been calling games since like the 1990s. So we're talking about guys moving into like his fourth decade of calling hockey. Yeah. Leah's a new voice granted, Leah's put her time in. She's worked behind the scenes, and she's worked, you know, all over the place to try and, you know, sort of get the experience that she needs. She's been in hockey for like 25 years. The fact that she's finally getting her shot opens doors for a ton of other people now to go, you know what, if hockey doesn't work out, maybe I'll try my hand at broadcasting. Broadcasting might be something that looks like fun. I want to try and do it. I think I'd be good at it. Maybe I'll give that a shot after I'm done playing.
No, and even like, especially for women, you know, men have that, there's always kind of somewhere to go. Whereas once you're done like playing at a certain level for women, it's like, well, what are you going to do? You want to stay in the game. So like I said, these younger girls are now going to see her doing this and be like, hey, well, I still want to go play that high level. But they know that once they're done, like, they can still do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like I said, there's going to be opportunities there. Speaking of opportunities, a lot of women this week that were hired and or promoted by NHL teams. First being one that affects us here in Canada West, as one coach is moving on to become a very prominent player with, not player, I guess, but a very prominent person with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Danielle Goyette is leaving the University of Calgary to move out to Toronto and become the manager of player development, I guess it is. And let me just get that title correct. But yeah, Danielle Goyette, who coached the Calgary Dinos women's hockey program for 14 seasons, decided that this was the opportunity that she was waiting for. This is the opportunity that she wanted, and she'll be moving out there. She resigned as of Monday from the University of Calgary and will be moving out to Toronto to take over that role alongside a woman who's already been working out there and will be now doing her medical residence out there after receiving her doctorate in medicine. Dr. Haley Wickenheiser was promoted to the position of Senior Director of Player Development. So Goyette is going to be the Director of Player Development, and Wick will be the Senior Director of Player Development. So they'll be working hand in hand, which means that the entire player development department in Toronto is now being run by two women.
I just, like, this show's getting me so excited because it's exact same as we just talked about before. Like, those are huge opportunities. And again, it's for those younger girls seeing that, look at that. Like, Wick is just, and that's exceptional. Like, she's got med school, all that stuff, and she's still going to do that. You know what I mean? But, like, it's just, it proves that you can do so much more than just play hockey. Like, yes, you play hockey to an extent, but if you want, realistically, you can be a part of hockey your entire life. You won't, obviously won't play, but it's never been for women. It's never really been like that. Whereas that's why this show is so exciting to me, because look at, like, all these things that just continue to keep happening. And it's like, holy, that's giving so many younger girls something to look forward to.
And I mean, you look at the way that these two, I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong. I mean, Goyette was, for the longest time, was considered to be, you know, sort of the player in Canada. She was one of the best players, obviously, to ever wear the maple leaf on her chest. And certainly, you know, take nothing away from Wick, she also had that that lofty sort of,
yeah,
title, I guess, as, you know, Canada's, you know, top player for at least on the women's side. And quite honestly, it could have been better than some of the men that were playing. But for these two women, for as long as they've played, for as much as they've done in their hockey careers, I mean, 10 years ago, if you would have asked them if this was possible, if this would have been, you know, positions that they would have been eligible for, I think the answer would have been no. And you look at the way, and again, take nothing away from Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are, you know, ultimately putting them in these positions. But they're hiring two women now who have played at extremely high levels for a very long time, who know what it's like in terms of the sacrifice that they have to put in terms of the time they have to put in terms of the effort they have to put in to be the best. And if you're going to ask anybody about who's the best, should gender matter? And that answer should be no. Because honestly, the Leafs now have two of the best women to ever play the game, two of the best players to ever wear Team Canada jerseys, running their entire development department.
No, and I agree. And, like, I think obviously, like you said, you know, 10 years ago, that would have never been a thing. And there's still, obviously it's getting better, but there's still that stigma. You know, Cassie was saying, when she's done doing her games or gets off air, like, she always has those negative comments. It's always, you know, certain men. And I was talking to a couple of friends last night, actually, too. And obviously it's just beer league, but because I was talking about how, you know, I would like to play guys beer league. But when I get on the ice with a bunch of guys, if I have the puck, like, they don't even try. They're just like, go. You know what I mean? There's still that stigma around it no matter what. So seeing these girls, women, sorry, come into these huge positions, not just with, like, obviously coaching, you know, university and doing that is still, like, a huge accomplishment. But these two women are, like, the two of the best women's hockey players ever. And they're now working with, like, NHL men. Like, they're, it's huge. As it sounds so small until you really kind of dive in, especially as a female that has played hockey. You know what I mean? It's just, it's huge.
Well, I mean, again, Goyette was pretty honest when she was asked, you know, about leaving Calgary in terms of, you know, giving up her position with the Dinos. And she said, it wasn't an easy decision to make. I love my job. I love working at the University of Calgary. I've grown a lot as a person and as a coach, and I had the chance to work with so many great people. I feel fortunate to have the chance to make a difference for so many young hockey players. And it's true. I mean, they won a national championship with Wick in the lineup and obviously coached by Goyette. They've been, you know, I mean, there was a few down years there, but like they may have arguably the best roster in Canada West coming up this year. Like for her to leave at this point when there's a better than good chance that they could go to nationals this year, I'd struggle with that decision because she's put a lot of time in to get this team back to where it needs to be on you know, a national prominence level. And I get it. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, the Leafs call, I don't think anybody says no, just because again, there's so few of those jobs to go around. And that's, I think the big thing is that she's taking the opportunity that's coming to her and not, I mean, again, there's going to be regret that she had to leave. I mean, she loves coaching. She loves that job, but again, it's the Leafs. It's an NHL job that is basically doing the same thing she was doing at university, only with professional hockey players now.
Yeah, exactly. And like that had to have been a huge decision at the same time. Like you said, there's not really that many opportunities to get yourself in that door. But yeah, it's huge. Like that is a huge program. Like that would be a big change, obviously. But the fact that I don't even know how to like put into words what I'm saying, because it just makes me so excited. I'm like, I love to see this, you know, but it's huge. And obviously, yeah, like you said, that's a hard decision and whatnot, but it doesn't come very often. So,
I mean, obviously there's a hole in the lineup now in Calgary, and that there's no bench boss behind the bench for the Dinos. I don't know who they're going to conduct a national search, they said. So sounds like they're hitting the ground running and looking for the best candidates possible. I don't know if who's going to be interested. I know that, you know, Erin Ambrose was in Concordia. If she's looking to maybe run a program after, I mean, she's going to be out in Calgary for the World Championships as it is. So maybe that's a chance where she can just step off and keep coaching if she wants. Erica Crom works in the same city. She's an assistant coach at Mount Royal. Maybe there's an opportunity there for her. Again, there could be other people. Florence Schelling's out of a job right now in Switzerland. Maybe she wants an opportunity to come back and coach. Ralph Kruger's got, you know, a long history with the national program. I don't know. I mean, again, you'd prefer to see a woman sort of step in behind the bench there, but do you turn down a coach of the with the prominence of a guy like Ralph Kruger?
No, that's obviously you want to see a woman in there, but there's still certain times where there's men that, not that they have a better, you know what I mean? I'm not saying they're better by any means, but it's just, obviously, again, you want that woman in there, but if the guy has that, what's the word I'm looking for? The experience, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're not going to just turn him down because you want a woman. Like, if he's going to help the program out, essentially, like, realistically, all that matters is what's the best for the program, right?
Well, and I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I think that Calgary's going to, you know, do that exhaustive search and certainly look around and see what they can find and find out who might be interested in coming over. And maybe there's a shot here for, you know, an up and coming or a coach that wants to get back into it or a coach that wants to stay connected to. I mean, the nice part is that if there's connections to Hockey Canada, you're in Calgary where Hockey Canada is based out of. So if you're looking at potential future coaches or coaches you want to groom after a Troy Ryan is done coaching at the national level, that might be the place where you put them is in the University of Calgary and let them work there.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they fill that spot, but it's going to be weird not seeing Danielle Goyette bring the Dinos to town anymore because she was always so recognizable when she came through the doors at Wayne Fleming Arena.
You said we were going to say, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I missed that. Like I've been doing school and stuff all week. So not fully in the loop. And I was like, whoa, like that's weird.
Yeah. It won't be the same without Danielle sort of on the bench. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I know we had our run-ins, you know, as media, she wasn't very comfortable talking to us in English a lot, just because again, she's French in terms of her native tongue. But like, there were times where you'd get her icy cold stare. And you just go like, man, she's gonna come over here and murder me, and I'm not even playing.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Like she was intense, and I mean, I think that's what I'm gonna miss the most is just seeing just how wrapped up in the game Danielle got at that. I mean, again, it's Canada West level. It's not like, you know, we're talking about the Olympics or you know, a national championship, or I mean, we are talking national championship, I guess, but we're not talking like an international championship or a world championship or anything like that. It's Canada West hockey. Like you're playing for a banner that's going to be hung in a school rink, and you kind of go like, it doesn't matter. She just wants to win so bad.
Well, that's the thing, I think, too. Like, that's why it's nice to have, when you get, you know, women that have played that high level coming back, it adds a different perspective. Like, yeah, they obviously want to win. It's just because of where they have played. And, like, when you play at that high level and then you're like, well, I'm going to coach, you come in with that intensity, but that also, like, rubs off on your players, right? So if you come in, like, yes, that stare from her, it's absolutely terrifying. But, like, I love to see that because it gives the girls, you know, a little bit more like, okay, well, we need to win, we need to do whatever. It's more like, it provides more of like a, I'm not saying it's not like meaningful winning championships, doing whatever, but it makes it more exciting, if that makes sense.
No, I totally get what you mean. So another big move, and again, another Olympian that's sort of joining an NHL team here, announced on Wednesday, Megan Duggan, former captain of Team USA, has been hired by the New Jersey Devils to be the manager of their player development department as well. So she'll be running a player development department in Newark. So Megan Duggan, who, I mean, she's been out of the game now for a couple of seasons, she's stepping back into the limelight and going to be sort of in charge of all of New Jersey's player development situation, which I think is incredible as well. So if we're talking about women sort of taking over, we've got two women that are running the Maple Leafs development. We have a woman that's running New Jersey's development, and we have a woman that's going to be calling all the action on the ESPN. And we're not even halfway done these stories yet.
Yeah, that's like, this is what I'm saying. This show is getting me so excited because it's just so much like positivity, but there's so many roles that are just being filled that are like not small roles, you know what I mean? By women, and I love it.
So Duggan's going to be working with assistant general manager Dan McKinnon, according to what New Jersey Devils have said. Duggan expects, quote, to do a lot of different things, unquote, in hockey operations and also get on the ice and help with skills training. GM Tom Fitzgerald said, quote, we look forward to her utilizing her perspective of the game, attention to detail and creative thinking to help our players reach their potential. She retired in October. She's 33, which means that she's actually older than every current player on the Devils roster.
Hey, honestly though, like, she's 33 and I'm like, wow, I'm doing nothing with my life. Like,
but again, this is
from there and I'm like, holy.
But again, this is what you're looking at, right? Like, I mean, Wickenheiser obviously is a little bit older, Goyette's a little bit older, Duggan is young, Hextall is young. Like, again, we're not talking older as in like they're 60 or they're 50. Like, we're talking about Goyette and Wickenheiser being in their 40s still. Like, we're talking about women that are in the prime of their careers basically, and they're getting the opportunities now. And this is the biggest thing, is that, I mean, we're talking about Cammy Granato, you know, becoming an NHL pro scout with Seattle. We're talking about, you know, players like Schofield, who we mentioned before, Kendall Coyne Schofield, who's working with Chicago now. We're talking about, you know, all sorts of different opportunities that are coming up for women who have played at a high level. And finally, NHL teams are going, you know what? It doesn't matter. As long as you can do the job, that's all that matters.
Yeah. And like, the thing is too, with a lot of these positions, like, they're not positions that have been around forever. They are brand new positions, and the people that are getting hired for them are female. Like, it's not, right. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting there. We are getting there slowly, but this is like, this show's making, I haven't stopped smiling because this is so cool. Like,
so, I mean, that's big. Let's keep going because things are still changing. Yes. Over in Russia, a new team has applied to join the Russian Women's Professional Hockey League, the Yaroslavl Ice Wings. To get in and want to play, who, after, I mean, again, apparently they've dominated whatever the Yaroslavl women's league that are in that city for the longest time. They've decided that they want to go pro and they want to get in and play at the highest level, which would give obviously Russia another women's team to play on. More importantly though, again, we're talking about developing more players in Russia to make that national program better.
Yeah, that's cool though. I feel like we need more teams like that, and if they aren't just being put together randomly and thrown in, like, they could develop that whole, you know, program quite a bit.
Right. And I mean, there's not a lot of information right now about what the Ice Wings are planning on doing, but again, getting another professional team to play at that high level. And again, we've seen all those players from the Russian pro leagues over, the Russian pro women's league over there, play for Team Russia, you know, at some point, one or the other, in international competition. So having another team that you can sort of develop more players on would mean a better opportunity for them to maybe, you know, win a medal, for them to maybe upset one of Canada or the US, for them to really sort of land on the international stage and do some great things. So I'm excited because, again, more high level teams means there's more going to be more good players developed.
Oh, 100%. And just more opportunity too, even for, you know, the players that could have maybe gone to play on, you know, teams after whatever. And they're just not, if there's people better than you, they're going to take that spot. Right. So there's, and it's not even that you're bad. It's just, there's obviously always going to be someone better than you. So there's more high level hockey, but then there's also more opportunity.
Right. And I mean, competition always brings out the best in people. So let's hope that they can come in and be competitive right away. I hold in my hand, not that anybody can see it, but I hold in my hand the latest copy of Elle magazine. I don't usually read Elle magazine. Don't get me wrong. It's not really.
I was going to say, is that your favorite one or
what? Yeah, I happen to flip through it if it's at the doctor's office or something or whatever. But, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, I am holding the latest copy of Elle because it contains a story about three women who are also on the cover. That would be Sarah Nurse, Hannah Bunton, and Manitoba's own Bridget Laquette. Basically talking about, you know, their love of the game, you know, what they're fighting for the PWHPA, what they're hoping to do in terms of changing the game. I gotta say, these three are straight fire in this interview, and certainly they look the part as well. They're wow in terms of just how good they look. So again, it sounds terrible for coming from me saying that, because again, I'm a guy and people, oh, look at him, he's just, you know,
I will back you up here and say you're not trying to be like a creep saying they look good. It's just they're out of hockey equipment, and it's one of those things that if I were to have said that, it wouldn't have sounded the same, you know what I mean?
I have seen Bridget Laquette once out of hockey equipment, and that was on the Ball Diamond. And she, I mean, again, she's ripped. Like, she can play. Like, she like, there's no question about it. But I've never seen Bridget Laquette off the diamond in, like, formal clothing. Like, and to say that it changes the way that you sort of look at her. Like, I look at her as an athlete. I look at her as a competitor. I look at her and go, she'll probably kick my butt, and I'm okay with that because she is who she is. But to see her off the ice in formal clothing, I go, she's a completely different person now. Like, she looks entirely different, not just like she's going to murder me in terms of whatever sport we're playing, but she legitimately is a completely different look for her. And it's not one that contains cleats, skates, or a helmet.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, seeing Sarah Nurse's hair completely out of a helmet and all done up, and like, I go, I didn't even know that she, I mean, I know, I knew she had hair in terms of, you know, seeing it stick out of her helmet and stuff. I had no idea that the style of hair that she has in the magazine was anything close to what she wore in real life. Like, seeing them in a different light really changes the way. They're not just, oh, they're girl hockey players. No, they're not. They're actual people. And I think this is where we always talk about it behind the scenes at Canada West level, but trying to turn the women into people so that you have a sort of a connection to them. You want to come down and see them. You want to come and cheer for them because you know a little bit about them. Reading this article, you get that sense about them. And I'll credit, you know, Caitlin Stahl-Paquette who wrote the article. She did a great job in terms of just getting some of this information out, getting the women to express themselves as well as they did, but they do a good job on their own.
100%. And I also, like, I think that's why this, you know, this article and the cover, like, I think that's also why it's so important, because these women, yeah, it's always like, oh, like, everyone knows them because they're female hockey players, you know what I mean? But they're people. Same with, you know, even NHL players are seen as just, you know, hockey players, whatever. But like you said, you need to be able to kind of connect with them and, like, realize, oh, like, they're people. I don't know, it's just a super important thing for this to, like, be coming out, because they have magazines about men's hockey players all the time. There's men's hockey players everywhere you look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know that they are also people. Like, obviously they're still NHL players. They take a lot more just because they're famous. But, like, for women's hockey players, it's like you see them on the ice and then after that, you don't see them again. Like, so that, well, this is, like, a huge, huge thing.
And the argument, I mean, for the women this year is that obviously they didn't have a women's championship last year, women's world championship last year, because it was canceled because of COVID. They got it canceled again this year. The Secret Dream Gap Tour has been running only in the U.S. Like, these are three Canadian women that essentially have lived off the radar now for, what, 12, 16, 18 months? Because there's been no hockey. And you see them and you go, like, I had no idea. Like, I had no idea that. Again, and I'll just use Bridget Laquette for an example. I had no idea she was from Manitoba. I had no idea, you know, she was from Mallard, Manitoba. Like, I had no idea where she grew up. I just knew that, you know, she was from Canada. It's one of those things where you get to connect a little bit with these women, and you go, I had no idea about this. And again, if you're going to go into it and just go, oh, well, they're just dude hockey, they're just girl hockey players, they don't really matter. Yeah. Again, then don't bother. Don't even bother wasting the oxygen, because it doesn't matter what you think at this point. It only matters how they're perceived. And if you're going to look at them as, oh, they're just stupid hockey, just girl hockey players, you're wasting everybody's time. Like, they're exceptional athletes. They are intelligent women who have all graduated from university, and they are doing amazing things both on and off the ice, and they should be recognized for that.
Oh, 100%. And you know what? There's always going to be those people, especially just because it's been where it was in the past. There's still people that have not fully come around to that idea. You know what I mean? Not everyone's full. There's just people like that. But that's why, like, this show especially, like, we're talking about how many things so far that women are doing. Like, it's getting there, and I think it will. But like you said, like, if you have an opinion like that at this point, just keep it to yourself and, like, don't waste anyone else's time with it.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you're right. There are going to be people that are always like that. And again, I mean, you know, the comments that Cassie puts up with after she's on broadcast is a good example of that. But I look at this and I go, if you look at these three and see anything but smart, intelligent, beautiful women who play hockey, these are smart, intelligent women who are legitimately trying to make a difference both in their own lives and the lives for others, and they're playing hockey to do it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. To me, I get tired of making this argument every single time because people want to put down women playing hockey, and I just go, like, they'd skate circles around you. Don't even open your mouth.
I know. That's the thing. I used to kind of, like, argue with people. At the same time, I'm at the point now where it's just like, you can have your own opinion. That's fine. I can't change the way you think, but, like, just keep it to yourself, because you know what you're saying in the long run. Like, you know that it's not, maybe not that it's not right because it's your own opinion, but
you're in the minority.
Something not quite right about it. Just keep it to yourself. Like, have your opinion, but keep it to yourself.
Right. You're in the minority. Like, stop talking. So,
yeah.
One last, note from women's hockey is that, we lost a player this week. USA's Casey Bellamy retired. Now people are going to go, what'd she do? I was reading up on her. She's got some pretty impressive accolades. She's won a ton of gold. Like, she legitimately lives in Fort Knox, the amount of gold that she has. She shares the record for most gold medals won at a world championship and Olympics for Team USA. She's tied with Hillary Knight. They have 9 gold medals. They have 8 world championship gold medals and 1 Olympic gold medal. So she is going to leave that opportunity to Hillary to go into, I guess, China and win another one in 2022. She has played in 11 consecutive world championships since 2008. She was picked for 2020, although it was canceled, and it looked like she was going to be picked for 2021 when it was canceled again. So technically you could say she played in 13 consecutive world championships, which not many players can say they've done.
Yeah.
That's beyond great. Beyond that, she's played in 3 straight Olympic games. She played in 2010, 2014, 2018. She obviously won gold in 2018 in Pyeongchang, has 2 silver medals from the two games. She was an anchor on the U.S. defense. Anchor. And I say that because she legitimately was the player that they turned to. She's not very big, but she played like she was like 6'6". Like, she, if you wanted to walk around her, you either went through her or she was flat on her back. Like, she did not let you get around her. The thing that I was surprised at, although I still don't think this is true, although it was written in one article, in 2018, she was the oldest defender on Team USA. Now, they said by 6 years. I'm thinking it's by less than that. I think it's by 4 years. But I think Monique Lamoureux was 28 at that point. But even when you look at that, though, and you go, she was 32 playing on that team, and everybody else was 4 years younger or younger at that point. Like, she was, and again, I don't mean to make fun of her age, but she was a dinosaur among you know, the spring chickens that were playing on that team. I'm going to ask, because I know we get into this topic a lot, and there's never enough women that have been picked, and certainly not enough that have been inducted. I think Casey Bellamy has a good case of being inducted into the Hall of Fame, only because, again, she's won so much.
I agree with you for sure. The one thing I also wanted to bring up is, like, this is the thing. So obviously, maybe she wasn't a full 6 years older. That still doesn't seem fully right to me. Even then, at this point, when you look at, like, you know, men's hockey, you go from playing whatever to junior, like, you have so much more time before you get to that NHL point where by the time you get there, you're already in your prime, right? Or even university, you go play other places first and then you go play university hockey as a guy, but you're older. So women, you come right out of hockey, you play university hockey, and then lots of people are just done. So for me, it's like that kind of proves to me that as you get older, like that's your prime. You know what I mean? For me, it's like, why don't women have things like a little in between stepping stones so that when you're fully in your prime and you're like fully there, look at how well she's doing and she's how much older than everyone, you know? That wasn't, I can't fully get my argument out right now, but like,
but you're not wrong. So you're not wrong. And I'll say this because there, I mean, again, in terms of stepping stones, I guess she kind of played in a couple of stepping stones. She played in the CWHL. She won a Clarkson Cup in Boston. She played in the NWHL, won an Isabel Cup as well. So she's won at every level she's played at. Like, that's the thing. I look at this and I go, there's nothing that she hasn't done where she hasn't won a championship. Again, I don't understand how people sort of look at you know, what women do and go, oh, well, it's not a big deal. Like, she won the Isabel Cup with the Pride. She won she won, you know, Clarkson Cup with the Boston Blades. She's been everywhere. She played for New Hampshire when she could have gone elsewhere. Again, she went to New Hampshire because she wanted to make sure her parents could see both her and her brother play hockey in the same year.
I love that.
Like, again, she could have gone elsewhere. She's from Providence, though. She grew up in Westfield, Massachusetts, and she went to New Hampshire so that, her brother, who's 3 years older than she is, and she could be seen, her parents could come to both kids' games. Like, that unselfishness alone deserves a Hall of Fame mention, but we'll leave that for now. She ranks third all-time in UNH in career points by defensemen, which, again, not bad. Not bad at all.
Not terrible, I guess.
She ranked fourth in NCAA Blue Liners in points in her senior season, and she was named an RBK All-America First Team All-Star. Like, she's been at the top of her game for a while. Again, she went into Hockey USA. She's done a pile of stuff. She's won more stuff than you can possibly count. Like, she's basically just crushing everybody and she is phenomenal in terms of what she's done. And I just go, again, she has to be considered. You have to consider her for a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what does the Hall of Fame mean for women's hockey if you don't consider her?
No, I 100% agree with you on that one.
It seems pretty. She had 107 points in 143 career NCAA games. So she can clearly play.
Yeah. No kidding. Hey?
Like, no problem. I got it. Yeah, we got it. No big deal. Like, I'm all right. I can play. I don't know. I look at this and I just go, there's no way that Casey Bellamy doesn't deserve to be there if she's retiring. And again, her justification for retiring, like she said this week that she doesn't have to play another Olympic Games to justify her career. And I fully agree with that. You don't have to play another Olympics because you already have a Hall of Fame career going.
Yeah. No, honestly, I love though that she recognizes that rather than just continuing to do it because, you know, maybe you don't feel, not that you don't feel, just to prove yourself, where she's like, no, I've already proved myself. Like, I love that. I love it.
Full credit to Casey Bellamy. I don't know what the future holds for her. I hope it holds something awesome for her. I hope that whatever she moves to next, she's going to kill that as well. Cause obviously she's got the track record that, you know, nothing stands in her way, which is awesome. To be honest, I mean, again, all the best in retirement to Casey Bellamy, because there's not much else you can do in hockey at this point if you're her. And the fact that she's walking away and knows that she's accomplished as much as she has and has proven to everybody that she's done as much as she has, I give her full marks for that as well. I think that she doesn't, again, the fact that she doesn't have to go into China, into Beijing, and just to play one more Olympics to say, I did one more just because.
Just because, yeah.
She knows her career has been defined by everything, including an Olympic gold medal. She doesn't need to prove anything else.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I just love that she can do that. You know what I mean? Instead of just, like you said, being like, well, I'm going to go into the Olympics one more time just because, where she's like, no, I know that I'm good. I know that I've done what I've done, and like, screw what everyone else thinks, essentially.
I didn't know that she actually won a second Clarkson Cup with the Calgary Inferno as well. There you go. I was just reading up on that a little bit.
Yeah, even better.
So congratulations to her as well. So no, I mean, congratulations to Casey Bellamy. Incredible career. Don't get me wrong. I'm always excited when USA announces that they're having one of their all-star players retire, because it means that they get a little weaker. But at the same time, though, it sucks that, you know, she's choosing to retire because she wants to. And that means that we won't get to see her play anymore. So Casey Bellamy at the age of 34 retiring. I still think that's too young. I still think she could.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, there needs to be more. Like, one day we'll get there. But
one day we will get there. do you want to do the idiot story now? Because
yes, please.
So you may recognize, because I'm playing the theme underneath, you may recognize, speaking of idiots, I'm playing the Gilligan's Island theme underneath this part, because I don't know exactly why this has to happen, and I don't know why he has to continue to embarrass his hockey team, but Eugene Melnick decided that he was going to play the role of Gilligan and try and, you know, shipwreck his entire Christmas this past year. For those that don't know, Eugene Melnick and his girlfriend thought they could basically... Again, Eugene Melnick is a citizen of Barbados. He can go down there whenever he wants. He has a house down there. He has, you know, property down there. And he's a Canadian citizen. So he can go between both countries with no problem. Eugene Melnick and his girlfriend decided that they were going to take a $500,000 a week super yacht charter in the Bahamas over the Christmas holiday and spend it with friends and family. Which, okay, whatever. I mean, if you're a billionaire, you can do whatever you want, I guess. Like, yeah, no big deal. Again, everything was set up. 12-passenger, 60-meter super yacht named the Dream was basically who they chartered, basically what they chartered, and they were heading down to have this 2-week vacation, first week by themselves, second week with friends and family, all by themselves, all alone on this super yacht to basically enjoy, you know, company of friends and family and their own. Here's where things get a little off track, because as of, May 14th, so 5 days ago, there was a lawsuit filed by two people on that boat who said that the luxurious excursion to the Bahamas was anything but luxurious at all. According to the information that's been filed in the lawsuit, the NHL owner Eugene Melnick and the yacht's British captain basically got into, you know, a clash of egos, screaming matches, all that kind of stuff, which led to panic attacks and abuse. And now the litigation that's sitting before the courts demands $10 million in U.S. in restoration for these fights that were going on board. People go, well, you got any detail? I got details. The yacht voyage began on December 22nd when Melnick and his girlfriend, Sherilyn Anderson, set sail on the Dream from Nassau, intending to spend 5 days together before friends and family joined them after Christmas. According to reports, things didn't go so well. First and foremost, again, Melnick and the captain didn't really see eye to eye. Melnick told the British skipper that he wanted to head through a small protected passage from Nassau down to a chain of Bahamian islands known as the Exuma Archipelago. Basically, it's a canal that would take them through. Now, I'm not saying this is all Suez Canal, you know, super tanker getting hung up there, but basically the captain said no, because the navigational chart to show depths in that canal between 2.4 and 6.4 meters, the draft for the super yacht is 3.6 meters, meaning that it wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
So the captain, doing the right thing, basically told Melnick, you know, man overboard, get lost. And yeah, said, we're not doing that, which obviously would lead to an argument and blah, 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 blah. The lawyer, Chris Fertig of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, who's representing both the captain and the yacht company, said, quote, it would have been nice had the boat been able to go the inland route, but you can't. It's just a physical impossibility. Okay, then. So we'll let Melnick off the hook on that one. Maybe he doesn't know anything about, you know, nautical, you know, passages and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay. But also, if you don't know anything about it, maybe just trust the captain.
I would trust the captain more than I would trust, you know, Eugene Melnick. But again, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the captain, knowing that he wanted to get down to this archipelago, the captain charted a route out into the open ocean. Without the protection, obviously, of the islands around them, the yacht took the full force of the Atlantic, and as you may know, in December, it's pretty harrowing out there because all sorts of winds and craziness. 10 to 15 hours they were out in the full force of the Atlantic. Melnick and Anderson became, quote, violently ill, vomiting throughout the night. So they got a little seasick.
Okay, but, oh, this story is so fun. Okay, sorry, keep going.
Hold on, we're not done yet. Seasick. Got a little seasick.
It goes, see, when we were talking about it, I was like, okay, it's done. And then there's more. So.
Oh no, we're not doing it. Because then the boat went to the calmer seas, sort of inland, you know, a little inner towards back towards the island, where it got a little less choppy out on the water. Picked up the rest of his passengers, including Melnick's mother, Vera Melnick, who lives in Barrie, Ontario. So they flew down as well. They too suffered, quote, violent bouts of vomiting and illness because of the captain's, quote, intentional and reckless conduct, unquote. Now,
you're in the ocean.
I'm not sure what you're expecting out there, but if you can't see the wave from the shore, you're not looking hard enough. So, okay. They get back to Canada. Everything's done. The ordeal after the 2 weeks is over. Everybody's sort of settling down. Anderson and Vera Melnick have now filed in U.S. federal court in Southern Florida $5 million lawsuits individually for negligence, false imprisonment, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Your laughter alone is part of the reason that it's funny. I don't know how you can claim this. I don't know how you can, again, it just makes no sense to me.
You're on a boat. You're going to get seasick sometimes. Like, not always, but you know what I mean?
So, again, they're out in the open ocean, right? So, here's some more lawsuit commentary.
Oh, yes. Okay.
They're out on the open ocean trying to get this to this archipelago. And the lawsuits say, quote, the passengers were, again, subjected to hours of rough sailing, some having to crawl on all fours to be able to safely walk the deck of the ship.
Okay, but, again, you're on a freaking yacht. What do you expect? You can't just drive shore in the middle of the ocean.
It's alleged that, quote, the seas were so rough that an improperly secured deck chair on the upper deck of the vessel crashed into the glass partition above the dining area, raining shards of broken glass that narrowly missed the guests but caused severe emotional distress over the likelihood of being injured, unquote.
Okay, well, don't go on a... Oh, okay, sorry, keep going.
During the Melnick charter, the sea swells were reportedly, according to the yacht company, reportedly, quote, hitting 2 meters, but the boat was never in any danger. Okay, sea swells of 2 meters is a big wave.
Like, that is very big. Very big, yes. Again, you're in the middle of the ocean. So
Fertig, the lawyer, was quoted as saying, quote, I understand that Mr. Melnick was upset the charter didn't go the way he envisioned, but every day there were 35-mile-an-hour winds, unquote.
Well, like, it's either that or you're going to get stuck. So, I don't know.
So the boat finally got to warmer, calmer, far more relaxed waters at Cat Island. And the captain, the British captain, who, again, Melnick already got into fights with, suggested it would be an ideal spot for some beach time. Get off the boat, get your land legs back, you know, get yourself settled. The passengers observed signs warning individuals not to swim in the water due to sharks.
Well, it's the ocean.
it's the ocean and it's warm water and that's where sharks go to feed. So I get that there are signs up there for that obvious reason that if there are sharks, don't go in the water.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know why you think that you need to go out into the middle of the ocean to swim when you could just stay on the beach.
Yeah. Like, you know, get dip your toes in there a little and
so here's the know.
Also, again, no, it's the ocean. Like, I don't understand what you expect.
Here's the craziness.
Like, the sharks swim the other way.
So here's the craziness. This is where the imprisonment comes from in terms of what they said. And I don't understand how this would be, but whatever. The lawsuits claim the passengers had planned to disembark at Exuma Island and fly home. The captain refused to let anybody off the boat, citing the rough seas. Instead, it's alleged he insisted on sailing the 18 hours all the way back to Nassau through open ocean again, an act of quote-unquote false imprisonment that resulted in, quote, panic attacks, trauma, fear of death by drowning, and fear of boarding vessels of any kind. Like, there's pirates out there, apparently.
That would be kind of cool, though.
I mean, I know Pirates of the Caribbean is a popular movie. There haven't been pirates in the Caribbean forever, but whatever. Yeah. Especially in December. They all know that you don't go sailing when there's two-meter swells out there. But anyway. So Fertig, who, again, the lawyer, provided two copies of two pages from the ship's guest book with entries that were written by Melnick's family and friends. They read, quote, what an amazing way to celebrate the start of New Year 2021. You guys are all amazing. We had a wonderful time, says one of the entries. The second entry, which Fertig alleges was written by Sherilyn Anderson, Melnick's girlfriend, says, quote, thank you so much for making this such a great experience. This was such an amazing way to start the new year. I can read you the full amount where she says, "Dear Dream Crew, thank you so much for an amazing trip, but I'll save you the long-winded explanation." So you have Anderson, who's filing one of the lawsuits, and somebody else basically saying it was an amazing trip, amazing time. We enjoyed it, you know, all that good stuff. Here's two lawsuits to show how appreciative we are.
Yeah, I just this is the part that, like, even if it was written by her and not him, like, obviously, if she's not experiencing any trauma and then he's coming up saying, "Oh my God, I thought I was gonna die," blah blah blah, like, something's not right there.
Again, this is an embarrassment for everybody. Again, not for the Ottawa. I mean, again, it's tied to the Ottawa Senators because Eugene Melnyk, but Eugene Melnyk is just an embarrassment right now. Like, I don't understand what his problem is. Like, I get that things might not. I've been on a cruise where my mom got sick. Again, we're talking about, you know, many years ago, where we were out in the open ocean and you roll on the waves. Like, that's how a boat works. You roll on the waves. The waves get bigger. You roll. There's bigger ups and downs. Seasickness will happen at that point because people don't do well if they have that uncertainty in them, in terms of, you know, they just don't feel like they're on solid ground. I get that. I get how it works. Yeah. This is ridiculous. If you're going to file a lawsuit for two lawsuits for a total of $10 million, because you think that the captain can control the weather, can control the waves. Like, what is the problem here?
Again, like, you're on a boat in the ocean. I'm not sure what you're expecting.
So anyway, Gilligan will return to Canada, and apparently he's fine now, but we'll see how this lawsuit turns out. We'll keep an eye on this, just like the Lanny McDonald lawsuit that we had kept an eye on for a while there. So we'll find out how that goes. But
yes.
We're getting close to time here. It's been gone so fast. A couple of cool things that came up. Dale Hawerchuk honored in Barrie, Ontario, this past week when the city council announced that Dale Hawerchuk will have the entrance at the arena in Barrie, Ontario, named after him now, in honor of the work he did in Barrie, Ontario with the Barrie Colts, which is, I think, is fantastic considering that, again, I don't think people realize just how good and how hard Dale Hawerchuk worked at not only being good, but being a good coach as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love it. This isn't even about this. I just love this show today.
The Sadlin Arena, which is the arena in Barrie, can't be renamed. If you were asking why don't they just call it the Dale Hawerchuk Arena, can't be named because they have the city has a $1.7 million deal with Sadlon Motors that basically lasts for, I think, 10 years. So can't really get out of that. So they're going to rename the entrance going in, and it sounds like Sadlin Motors, who saw no issue with that because they own the naming rights for all city-owned interior and exterior signs of the arena, it sounds like they agree to that as well. So nice to see a private company and the city of Barrie coming to an agreement and honoring Dale Hawerchuk a little bit for that. Hawerchuk, for those that are asking, 305, 269, and 38 were the Colts under his watch while making the playoffs 7 times, capturing the Central Division title 4 times, in his 9 seasons behind the bench for the Colts.
Yeah, he definitely, there's not someone that deserves that really more than him. So
that's so good. To see number 10 getting honored out in Barrie. Rumor has it, I can't say this for certain, but rumor has it, there is a statue that will be unveiled at some point in Winnipeg for Dale Hawerchuk down near Bell MTS Place or Bell MTS Center.
That's awesome. You know what? I was going through some my dad's stuff. He has a jersey. I think it's like a Hockey Hall of Fame one, but it's a Hawerchuk something. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
I'll send you a picture.
Nice. Yeah, we'll get that going.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Moving on to a couple other smaller stories. MJHL's Neepawa Hockey Club. You might remember the discussion that we had earlier in the year where they are changing their name from Natives for obvious reasons. I mean, it's a fairly non-PC name at this point in time.
Yes.
The MJHL's Neepawa Hockey Club has announced that on June 7th, they will have a new jersey and, more importantly, a new name to unveil.
Yay!
Mark your calendars, folks, because that's coming up. So Neepawa's MJHL team will have a new name and new jerseys on June 7th. Nothing's been revealed yet in terms of colors or anything like that or whatever. So it'll be a big unveiling on June 7th. We'll keep our eyes peeled on that and obviously report on it here on this show because it'll be fun. Want to announce that next Friday, There will only be three teams in the NHL without fans in the buildings. Those three teams would be Edmonton, Toronto, and Winnipeg, because Montreal has decided that they're going to allow fans back into the Bell Center. Quebec Premier François Legault will allow large performance venues, i.e. the Bell Center, to open with assigned seating next Friday, and it sounds like there'll be 2,500 people maximum allowed in. If you're asking, that would coincide with Montreal hosting Game 6, if necessary, in their series against Toronto. And we always talk about about how fans make the difference too, right? Like, fans in the playoffs make the difference.
Oh, for sure they do, but I don't know. I just don't like that. One, you know, fans do make the difference. It's like, it sounds weird, but it definitely is a bit of an advantage. Also, no, I'm not even going to talk about the COVID part of that.
No COVID today. Remember? Yeah. Something that caught my eye, speaking of Quebec, QMJHL is going to retire number 4 league-wide in honor of Guy Lafleur. Now, I don't have a problem with them honoring Guy Lafleur like this, because Guy Lafleur was a huge, huge player in the QMJHL. I just don't like teams retiring numbers, because it takes that number out of rotation. And if they're going to do it league-wide, that means that all the teams in the QMJHL can no longer wear number 4. I don't like that idea. I like the idea of honoring Guy Lafleur by elevating his number a little bit, but not taking it out of rotation for every single team. Again, Guy Lafleur didn't play for every single team. So to remove it for every single team, I think is wrong.
No, I agree. And it's like, at some point, like, I get the idea behind it. And like, obviously, yeah, like, that's a huge thing. But if this continues to happen over how many years, like, there's going to be no numbers. You're going to be using like the hundreds.
Oh, I know. And I mean, we're getting close to some of those teams having, like, again, Montreal Canadiens have like 25 numbers already retired. So,
yeah. That's the thing. I get the idea behind it. I just feel like there's better ways to make, like, obviously, like, that's the biggest thing, to have your number retired. And like, I'm not going to take away from that. But like, eventually, like, people want to use that number. And I get that you are whatever, but you could do something else, you know?
But keep the number in rotation. Hang the banner in every rink. I have no problem with that if you're going to honor them. But just don't take it out of rotation, because obviously there are other players who are wearing number 4 or want to wear number 4 or could wear number 4. And that'll never happen now.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to point at a guy like Vincent LeCavalier, who wore number 4 when he was playing in the QMJHL. He would have never been able to if he was coming up now, though.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm not going to take away. That's obviously a huge thing. At the same time, yeah, you can, you know, hang the banner, do whatever, keep the number in rotation. But there's other ways that you can celebrate that, rather than just saying, nope, no one's ever going to wear this number again. Like, screw you, basically, to the people that would like to wear, not the guy that they're retiring. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yep. No, that is good. We are basically out of time, though, Jen. Like, we are legitimately a scratch in the surface here of going over time. That's okay. No, we're good. Anything you want to say before we get out of here, though?
One quick thing. Any women's hockey players, whether you've coached or not before, I know a couple teams that are looking for coaches. If you want to get into coaching, send either, you know, me or teams a message, and I can get you some information. But we're looking for a couple people for the next season. So
there we go. We can do that. I will get, if you send it to me via Twitter or via any other method, email, anything like that, I will get over to Jenna and we'll get you guys in touch so you can get out there and start cutting your teeth as a coach, because
it's so
lots
fun.
Of movement on that side. Yeah. Lots of good opportunities there. Women's hockey is in the news, and certainly will continue to be in the news as well. Keep following here on the Hockey Show, as we had a fun women's girl power show today, leading off with all those stories. Yeah. With that, though, Jenna, we're going to let you get out of here. Going to let us get out of here as well. Stay tuned for Ear and Radio with Skippy coming up next here on 101.5 UMFM. Stay tuned for that, everybody, here on the station. We're out of here for another week. Thanks for tuning into the Hockey Show. We'll see you next Thursday, everybody. Generation next. You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.